in our lives. Here's one that seems to be a great divider among God's people. Should I vote Republican or should I vote Democrat? What is the will of God for me? And so it becomes confusing. I know pastors. I mean, I know pastors that love the Lord, that know the word, and yet still they fall on different sides of the spectrum. What is God's will? How do we discern God's will?
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry. R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us for the first half of How Do I Discover God's Will for My Life, Part 1, from our series, Answering Your Question About the Will of God. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of How Do I Discover God's Will for My Life.
That passage in Isaiah chapter 6 where the seraphim, they bow down and they say, holy, holy, holy. And he made the observation. He said that every time God does something, the angels bow and they say, holy. And then they start coming back up. And before they can get up good, he already did something else. And so they go back down and say, holy. And then he comes up, they come up, and he's done something else. So they're always just going saying, holy, holy, holy. Every praise is to our God. Well, we're getting ready to start a new series today. It's going to probably be a four-week, five-week series. And the title of this series is Answering Your Questions About the Will of God. Answering Your Questions About the Will of God. You know, I'm amazed at some of the ways that people try to discern and find out the will of God for their lives. I heard about a guy who was trying to get the will of God, and he said that I'm gonna sit beside my window. There was a little breeze blowing. He said, I'm gonna sit beside my window and open my Bible, and wherever the breeze blows, and whatever page it comes to, I'm going to put my finger on that verse, and that will be God's will for my life. And so he opened it up. The wind blew, opened it to a page. He put his finger on it, and it said, Judas went out and hanged himself. He thought, well, that's not the will of God for my life. And so he said, well, let me try it again. And the wind blew, and he put his finger, and it says, go and do thou likewise. He said, I'm going to give it one more chance. I'm going to try it one more time. So he put his, what was that? Oh, y'all not talking to me. Okay. All right, man. Okay. Y'all messing me up back there, man. All right. Messed up my story, right? All right. So he got beside the window again, and it blew, and he put his finger on it, and it says, what thou doest, do quickly. So it's crazy the way that people find the will of God for their lives. There's questions that we ask about the will of God. Who should I marry? Where should I live? What vehicle should I purchase? And you know what? I'm finding out that even in these times of COVID, that there's a whole new set of questions that we're asking. Should I get vaccinated? Should I wear a mask? Should I come to church? There's a whole lot of new questions that, a whole other set of questions that present itself to us. And as we ponder even these COVID-19 questions, we need to find out what is the will of God in our lives. Here's one that seems to be a great divider among God's people. Should I vote Republican or should I vote Democrat? What is the will of God for me? And so it becomes confusing. I know pastors. I mean, I know pastors that love the Lord, that know the word, And yet and still they fall on different sides of the spectrum. What is God's will? How do we discern God's will? I was watching the news this morning before I left. And there was actually, they put out a warning to the kids, I think it's over in Homestead in Munhall, that there's actually a TikTok challenge that is challenging the kids to go and punch their teacher in the face. I said, what has this world come to? This is madness. This is crazy. And so the school administration came on very quickly and said, and if that happens, we just want to let you know that you will be expelled from school and there will be criminal charges pressed against you. But just to think that, you know, our kids would listen to some idiot on TikTok telling them that they need to go punch their teacher in the face. That's why we have to hear from the Word of God. We have to hear what God is saying. And so, you know, we ask the questions, you know, what should I seek the will of God on? I woke up at 3:37 this morning and tried to go back to sleep. And I couldn't go back to sleep. And I began to reflect on the message that I'm preaching, and I said to myself, God, what is your will for me? Should I get up? I mean, going to the gym every morning, should I just get up and go to the gym? I answer questions for this one website, gotquestions.org, and I had a question that came in. I said, Lord, should I answer this question? Lord, should I go over to the church and just pray and meditate on my message? So I mean, even things like that, it boils down to, you know, God, what do you want me to do? And so often, I think that we make, and again, I remember when I was in college, and I first got saved, and I was a part of a Bible study. And I remember one of the young ladies in the Bible study said that she went to the store, and she prayed about the color of the shower curtain that she could get. And I thought to myself, I said, wow, you know, that's getting pretty deep into the weeds there when you start praying about what color shower curtain that you should get. So, I mean, you know, again, you know, this whole thing about the will of God, you know, is it when I wake up, Lord, if I can't go back to sleep, what's your will for me? Lord, who should I marry? What vehicle? I mean, all that. And so we want to deal with those issues during this series. So some of the things that we're going to be talking about in this series, what is the will of God? We're going to deal with that. What is the will of God? What has God clearly revealed as his will? And we're going to touch on that this morning. How do you decide the will of God in the gray areas? You know, what about listening to secular music? What about going to the movies? You know, how do I decide the will of God in those areas? How do I discover God's will for my life personally? How do I know what God wants me to do? Oh, here goes one right here. Does God have a perfect and a permissive will? You know, I've heard different stories regarding this, different thoughts, different ideas. And what are some indicators that you are not in the will of God, right? You know, when you're not in God's will, there's some very strong indicators that you are not in his will. So let's jump into this morning and begin by saying you and the will of God. You and the will of God. Paul, writing in the book of Colossians, he says this, Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends you greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you might stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. Notice two things that jumps out at us in this verse. God has a will for your life, and God wants you to reach full maturity of his will. Now, some people say, well, you know, I'm retired, or I'm getting ready to retire, and they think that it's over. They think that it's time to shut it down. You know, I heard somebody say, you know, when you retire, it's not time to retire, it's time to refire. And the rest of your life can be the best of your life. God has a will. Just don't think it's for people in their teens or 20s and 30s that need to find out what God's will is, that God has a will for you at any stage of life. And he wants you to reach full maturity in that will. But some of us are a little hesitant because we don't know what God wants us to do. I remember when I went to Africa, and I got up. We spent the night at this one brother's house, and I got up the next morning, and we were having breakfast, and he said, Pastor, do you want to take a bath? I said, yeah, sure, you know, I want to take a bath, you know, I just woke up, slept. And so he said, okay. And so he gave me a pan of water, a washcloth, and a bar of soap. And he said, here goes the bathroom. I went in there. It was four walls and a little hole in the ground. And I'm standing there trying to figure out, what am I supposed to do? Right? I mean, really, saints, I'm used to, you know, going in and, you know, turning the shower on and having, you know, shampoo and all this other stuff. And I'm going in there, I got soap, a rag, a pan of water, and a little hole. And I'll be honest there. I stood there probably for about 10 minutes just trying to figure out, how do I get started? Where do you start at? And then finally, something just said, get busy. Get busy. And by the third day, I had a routine down. And I knew what I had to do. But you know, some people treat God's will like that. They're a little hesitant, right? They stand there and they, well, I'm not sure what to do. Man, God got a will for your life, and he wants to bring you to full maturity. He wants to grow you up in his will. And you're standing there trying to figure out what to do. Now, there's a time for figuring out. But then once you figure it out, it's time to get busy. It's time to do what God has called you to do. God has a will for your life, and he wants you to reach the full maturity of his will. Now, this thing about the will of God is so serious that Jesus had a lot to say about the will of God. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Jesus said, in order for you to get to heaven, to get into heaven, that you got to do the Father's will. And we know what the Father's will is. I'm going to talk about that this morning. That the Father's will, as far as getting in, is accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Right? So Jesus said you can't even get into heaven unless you do the Father's will. Jesus also said in the model prayer, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then when somebody asked Jesus who was his brother and sister, he said, whoever does the will of God, whoever does God's will is my brother or sister. So even Jesus took this thing about understanding God's will seriously. Paul put a great emphasis on knowing the will of God. Notice what Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. All right. He says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Notice, he says, transform. How are you going to know God's will? You got to have a transformation of the mind. You have to be in the Word of God. You have to be in prayer. You have to be in study. You have to transform your mind. See, the problem is we got what many people call stinking thinking. Stinking thinking. And when you have stinking thinking, your will overrides God's will. When you think crazy about stuff, if I'm listening to people on TikTok that's telling me to go out and punch my teacher in the face, that's stinking thinking. And sometimes we even as God's people, you know, it amazes me how that sometimes some issues that are near and dear to the heart of God, we write them off by saying they're political issues. You know, for the life of me, you know, yes, politicians have made political abortion. There's no question about that they've made it political. But before they made it political, it was a theological issue in the Word of God, where God tells you when life begins. God says that life begins at conception. But we have stinking thinking sometimes, and we start buying into the thoughts of the world. Well, I'm not going to touch that. That's a political. No, that's not a political issue. That's a theological issue. That's a God issue. And that's why, you know, we need to know the will of God, even in an area like that. And so it comes down to this. If you go to that next slide, that here's two types of people in the world. Those who say, thy will be done, and those who say, my will be done. This is the way that I think it should be. And so no longer is the word of God the authority. No longer are we seeking God's word, but we're seeking what we hear the people in the streets protesting saying. We're thinking, you know, we're doing or thinking what we hear Hollywood saying. We're thinking what we hear the world saying. You know, again, you know, I hope, and I know you guys get tired of hearing me say this, but I hope no young person is foolish enough to go punch their teacher in the face. Yeah, you said a mouthful over there. You know, you would be surprised. People listen to all kinds of stuff, and that's stinking thinking. And so we as God's people should not have stinking thinking. But Paul said, by the renewing of your mind, that you might understand the will of God, that you might understand what God's will is. What is the definition of the will of God? What is the definition of the will of God? God's will is more than something that he desires to do. It is what he resolves, what he determines, or what he purposes to do. God's will is just not, well, you know what? I think I want some Blaze pizza today. You know, I desire some pizza. You know, that's not God's will. It's not what something that God thinks is a good thought. It's not something that God, you know, wishes would come to pass. When it's God's will, it's something that he desires. Something that he resolves, determines, or purposes to do. And it can be based on two things. And so here's where you need to connect with what I'm getting ready to say. All right. One thing that God's will is based on is his sovereignty. And that is So there are some things that God is going to do, and it don't make any difference what anybody else does or what anybody else thinks. He's going to do it because he's God. Daniel chapter 4, verse 35, Nebuchadnezzar came to this reality. He said that God is in the heavens and that he does whatever he wants to do, and no one can say unto him, man, what are you doing? Nobody can say to him. There's some things that he does that you can't question. And it's going to happen regardless of who it affects and who is a part of it. But then there's the sovereignty or the will of God, and it's based on human response. This is where you come in. This is where you come in. And that is, sometimes God has a will for you, and his will for you is dependent on how you respond. You're going to say, where you get that from, Pastor? Jonah chapter 3, God sent Jonah to preach to the Ninevites so that the Ninevites would repent and come to him. They had the responsibility of repenting and turning to God. If they didn't do it, then God was going to bring judgment on them. And so the fact that God wanted to spare them, that God wanted to bless them, depended on their response to his gracious offer that he sent through the prophet Jonah. And so God sends messages to you. And God has something that's good for you. He has something that's his will for your life. But it's dependent on how you respond. Now, we're going to talk about that. You know, I got a whole message just on that. I got a whole message on that, and we're going to dive into that. But so right now, just take the definition of God's will. It is something that he resolves, he determines, or he purposes to do. Let me put it to you another way. There are four aspects of God's will. There are four aspects of God's will, all right? Stay with me now, all right? There is his restorative will, and this is where he will ultimately restore all things under the authority of Christ. That Adam and Eve, they lost everything in the garden. They lost it. They lost their innocence. They lost their ability to be pure. It even affected the animal kingdom. It even affected creation. And so God's restorative will is that one day under Christ, he's going to bring all those things back. That's God's restorative will. And then there's God's redemptive will. And what is that? That God purposed that when man and woman fell, that he was going to what? He was going to redeem. He was going to save them. That was his will, God's redemptive will. And then this is what we're going to talk about for the rest of this morning, is his revealed will. And this is the revelation of his plans for humanity in his word. So I want to share some stuff with you. This is what I'm getting ready to share with you in a second is ground floor stuff.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of How Do I Discover God's Will for My Life, Part 1. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, or God's Part 1, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request How Do I Discover God's Will for My Life, Part 1. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request How Do I Discover God's Will for My Life, Part 1, from our series, Answering Your Question About the Will of God. Or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org. or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.